Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I just do what I'm told. I join the link in the thing, and, you know, I'm just a talent.
Yeah.
True. Sorry.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
You know what's funny? I spend so much time sitting in front of a microphone. Sometimes I forget I'm sitting in front of a microphone, which, you know, whatever. Oh, man. Anyway, I'm Kai Rizal. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, right? Joining us on this Thursday, I believe it is March the 14th today.
Yes, today we're going to listen back to some of the big news stories of the week. We've got some audio clips lined up, so let's hear our first one.
When I got on TikTok in 2022, it changed my life forever. I was able to gain followers. I was able to connect with my community. I was able to grow my business and upscale to a warehouse of 15,000 square feet, get a brick and mortar into the mall location. It changed my life forever. I have people flying in from California, the UK, Seattle, New York, just to visit my store just because they heard about me from TikTok.
And there is a perfect example of some of the most effective lobbyists that TikTok has. So that was TikTok content creator Summer Lucille talking on CNN about how TikTok has helped her grow her business and why she is against banning the platform, which is something that the House of Representatives has kind of sort of voted to do this week. They voted to pass a bill that either would force TikTok parent company ByteDance to divest it TikTok, at least the U.S. operation of TikTok, or face being banned from U.S. app stores. And all sorts of TikTok content creators have been voicing their opposition to a ban, many saying it's going to destroy their small business or their careers as an influencer or creator. TikTok is spending millions and millions of dollars lobbying Congress on this issue, and yet it was a pretty overwhelming pass. And, you know, I should mention here that there is, and we've said it before, there are a lot of real national security concerns around TikTok. There's a lot of privacy concerns around TikTok. But after passing the House on yesterday, the bill that would force TikTok to split moves on to the Senate next. Biden has already said he's going to sign it, but TikTok is definitely not taking this one lying down.
No, for sure not. Although the odds of the Chinese government or whoever actually controls TikTok or ByteDance, as the case may be, selling TikTok to a former Secretary of the Treasury or any American, I think is zero, maybe less than zero.
And I mean, obligatory disclaimer here that TikTok swears up and down that they are not giving the data of Americans to China.
Right.
That is what they say.
Right. I actually think, by the way, I don't think it's a data thing. I mean, yes, maybe it is a data thing, but I think it's an algorithm thing. I think it's we don't know if, whether, maybe, kind of, sort of, somehow, somebody's going to manipulate the algorithm to start showing things that are potentially destabilizing. That's my play. And I, you know, I mean, what the hell do I know? But that's, you know, I don't know.
I mean, all the above can matter.
Right, right,
you know?
Right, totally. Totally. All right. Next clip. Here is a woman by the name of Ellen Pao. She's the former CEO of Reddit. She was on CNBC a couple of days ago to talk about Reddit's upcoming initial public offering. Reddit, of course, being the you know, voted up, voted down social media platform. And she was asked, which is a really good question, by Andrew Ross Sorkin on CNBC, what the company's path to profitability looks like. Here's what she said.
It's a difficult one. It requires selling your users' data. It requires limiting the content to content that advertisers are comfortable with. It's kind of counter to the free-for-all that Reddit has been for so long and that the users have rebelled against restricting. So it's going to be a tough path. And I think that having the public market watching everything that you do is also hard.
Yeah. So a couple of things. First of all, did you hear that like hitching or giddy up, as she said, free for all, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Reddit is a free for all. And if you're the person running this company, that's a real challenge, right? Because it has kind of been the Wild Wild West in a not very good way in a lot of cases, right? There's been a lot of abuse, a lot of really problematical content on there. But it's a company that, give or take, is going to be worth $6 or $8 billion. They're trying to raise, you know, $750 million, $750 million in this IPO. Company is also, and this is props to them, going to reserve some of the shares in this initial public offering for users and for moderators, which gives them the chance to get in before the big institutional investors get in, so that they get some of that first day pop instead of only being able to get in after the first day pop, which you usually see on an initial public offering, right? Which is kind of a good thing. The other thing to mention here, and props to Courtney for putting this in the prep, Reddit was the origin location of a lot of the meme stock volatility in 21 and 22, AMC and GameStop and all of that jazz. And it will be really interesting to see how that plays out on the platform once it becomes a publicly traded company. Are they going to like do some stuff to the company stock? I don't know.
Are they going to, right? The Redditor, right. Are the meme stock Redditors going to meme stop Reddit?
Right, right. There would be something very, very meta about that. Not to throw in another, you know, social media company. See what I did there? Anyway.
I did. Good job. Yeah. All right. Moving right along. Here is the next clip.
Now let's turn to Family Dollar. Here, persistent inflation and reduced government benefits continue to pressure the lower income consumers that comprise a sizable portion of Family Dollar's customer base.
That was the CEO of Dollar Tree, Rick Dreiling, on the company's earnings call, earnings analyst call, whatever you want to call it, this week, because Dollar's fourth quarter financial results were worse than expected. And much of the blame went to the performance of the company's Family Dollar chain. Now, both of these chains, Family Dollar and Dollar Tree, tend to be a bit overrepresented in lower income mm-hmm. communities. And so a lot of people look at how these stores are performing to see how people at the, you know, bottom end of the income scale are faring in this economy. And so the company announced it's actually going to be closing nearly 1,000 stores over the next several years, most of which will be Family Dollar locations. And if you've been listening to Marketplace for the last few years or so, you will know that in many communities, the only type of grocery-ish store in lower income communities are Family Dollars or Dollar Trees, mm-hmm. and they're not always, you know, the best options for the most healthful food options, but they are the only option as more and more grocery stores have retreated. And so this is going to have a significant impact on a lot of these areas that the USDA refers to as food deserts.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. It's the grocery thing is really troubling, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are more options for people who receive SNAP benefits
mm-hmm. yep.
to get yep. grocery delivery now than there used to be. Yep. It's not, you know, as easy it is for people paying cash or credit or whatever, but there are a few more options. But again, when you're thinking about distance, that gets to be an issue. Right. Like if you're 40 miles from the Walmart or 40 miles from the Amazon warehouse, you know, are you still going to be able to get any kind of savings there?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. But I think we do know. And the answer is no, you probably won't, right?
I don't know yet.
All right. Well, we'll see how it shakes out. Last piece of tape for today. Matthew, a listener out there, and thank you, Matthew, for listening, recommended this one. I should have picked up on it, but here we go.
Every day was a challenge. Every day was an experience. Every day was the best day of my life. And that is exactly what the finish was also.
I have mentioned a couple of times on this podcast, mm-hmm. this young American woman I was following on Instagram who was sailing around the world. Her name is Cole Brower. She finished this past week. I think she finished on like the 6th or the 7th of March. She came in second on a solo around the world race. She's become the first woman to race solo around the world. I told you about her Instagram feed. It was amazing and remarkable and just wild. She came in second in that race out of 16. I think something like 25-ish people started. A bunch of them got dismasted and had breakdowns and all this jazz. Anyway,
Dismasted?
Yeah, the mask came up. The mask broke.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was wild. There was another guy in the race who I also followed. I went down the sailing rabbit hole, as happens, I suppose, with social media, which is, to get back to the algorithm, that's what happens. Yeah. This guy was sailing in the middle of the night coming up the east coast of South America in a storm, and his mast broke. And when you're on a 50-foot sailing boat in the middle of the night in a storm and your mast breaks, you're in a world of hurt. And he had to call Coast Guard and emergency beacon and get evacuated and all, picked up by a different ship. Anyway, Cole Brower finished. She's fine. But it's cool. It was just cool to watch this person do this. It was just great. And we'll put a link to her stuff on the show page because it was amazing.
Good for her. Yeah. Congrats, Cole.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for today. Please join us tomorrow for Economics on Tap, which will be the cherry blossom edition. We are nearing peak bloom here in D.C., and I was on my way to take Jasper to the vet today and saw a lot of the magnolias blooming and a couple of the early cherry blossoms blooming. And he's fine, by the way. And he's got a runny nose, and I was worried about it, but they said it's okay.
How do you know when a cat has a runny nose? Wait, how do you know when a cat has a runny nose?
When there's snot dripping down his face. How do you know when anybody has a runny nose?
All right. Okay.
Anyway. Anyhow, we will not have snot tomorrow for Economics on Tap.
It's allergy season.
It's going to be the cherry blossom editions. There will be decor. There will be themes. There will be themed cocktails. And if you want to know what themed cocktail I will be having for the cherry blossom party, it's in the Make Me Smart newsletter. So you can check that out. You should subscribe. And if you want to... long-suffering sigh
from
Kai.
No.
The YouTube live stream starts at 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Don't miss out.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Audio engineering today by Drew Jostad. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Talia Menchaca is our intern.
Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
All right, here's what it is. I know, obviously, they have mucus. I just don't think I ever thought of cats as having mucus. I get it, but,
He's also really old. Jasper's almost 15.
He's fine, right? He's fine?
As far as I know.
All right, good.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.